talk about a topic. I'm going to build up from where I left. And last week, we've been talking about a number of things. And last week, I talked about, you know, how we are emotional. You know, emotions play a huge role in what we do. And there are times in our lives we feel fantastic. Are there times that you feel great? Yeah? When you come to CRK on a Sunday morning, you can't help but feel fantastic. And if you don't, see me after the service. Got a few people to talk to you. However, there are times that we go through the valleys of life. And it is there that really issues start. You know, we start struggling, trying to cope, you know, every day. It's called a day, and then you think you've just got over one hurdle, something else unexpected happens, and you have to deal with this. And I said last week, you know, Jesus experienced this when he took John and Peter and James up on the mountain, and he was transfigured, and his color of the robes changed, and he was whiter than bleached. Anything that could bleach it. And then Peter said, he looked at him, he was so excited, he felt, he said, look, let's stay here. You know, why would you go back to the valley? You know, there are people there. Let's just stay here. It's just so wonderful. It's just such a great thing. Let's build three houses for you, Elijah and Moses, because Elijah and Moses appeared to him, and they were talking to Jesus. This was heaven. And the voice from heaven came, and he says, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. I mean, what would you go back to the world? Right? I mean, it's a great, great place to stay. But then, of course, you know, right after that, they had to go back to the valley, and there's a problem. You know, whenever you go back to the valley, back to reality, there are problems. And the problem was there was this man. He was surrounded by a large crowd, and basically, you know, his son, he was possessed by a demon that was throwing him in fire, throwing him here, throwing him there. So the father just wanted, you know, he wanted to find a cure. So he went to his local church. His local church could not understand what the heck was happening. His own disciples could not heal the boy because they did all the stuff that they knew what to do. And then the father in front of the crowd, he just shouts, he says, Jesus, Jesus. He's very emotional about this, you know, because it's his son. He wants him to really get better. And he says, Jesus says, well, what is it? He says, I brought you my son. He explains the whole issue that his son has. And Jesus says, since when he had this issue? He says, since he was a boy, since he was a little boy, he's been, you know, struggling and suffering from this. And it's interesting what he says to Jesus. He says, if you can heal him, heal him. If you can. And Jesus turns to him and says, if I can? I mean, some of our prayers are like that. We do everything that is on our power. Then we go to Jesus and say, Lord, if you can do this, we will really appreciate it. Right? If he can. And Jesus' answer is very, very simple. He says, if you have faith, all things are possible. Now, the man at that very moment, who was just an ordinary Joe who just comes, he's trying to find a solution. He weeps because he realizes the importance of faith. And where does faith come? Faith comes from hearing. Hearing what? God's word. And then immediately he says, help me in my unbelief. I have faith, but also help me in my unbelief. And then this boy is healed and the whole thing goes, you know. Now this is the problem, is that sometimes, you know, what we trust and what we are dictated with is our emotions. Our emotions are real, they're God-given, and we should not hide them. And I think we should talk about our emotions. You know, some cultures, they don't talk about emotions, right? They just hide it, we don't want to bring the shame out. And of course, you can't talk about your emotions with everybody. You know, you have to trust the person to talk about, you know, your emotions. And you should definitely not see priests for your emotional problems. You know, some people say, well, I'm going to go and confess. Confess what? My sins. You know, your emotional problems. Go to God or see somebody who really loves the Lord and just connect with them. You know, we just go with a set. You know, we're always trying to find a solution. And the only solution, let me tell you, is found in Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Still, Jesus is the solution to this world, no matter what people say. And God is not a man, so he does not lie. So if he promises something, he will deliver. The problem is, we recipients of God's truth. truth. We have forgotten to believe in his truth. And we put more emphasis on what we feel for today than what God's word says. Our feelings will betray us. And they betray us every time. So when I'm going to make a decision, I do not discard feelings from my life. But when I make the decision, I try to make it based on God's truth, no matter what people say outside. Because people will fail, but God would not. And this is the problem with our society, is that today we're living in a culture that I hear often, well, if you feel it's good, just do it. Life is too short. Do you hear this? If you feel it's right. You know, there's a lot of things feel right that are wrong. But when society changes wrong into right, then if you feel right, of course you're going to do it. But then you question, where was God in all this? You fool, he was right there. But you acted upon your emotions that are just always going to betray you, because the Bible says the heart is deceitful. Don't trust it. Because sometimes I'm going to feel like things. Sometimes I'm going to, you know, there are times I don't feel coming to church. Then my wife just says, you fool, you're the pastor. You need to be there. But there are times I don't feel like engaging with God. Because I'm just too tired, you know. Those are all feelings, but if I constantly act upon it, I'm going to go cold as a Christian. So when it comes to making important decisions within my life, I'm going to base my actions on my feelings, which will utterly betray me, than God's truth. And if you look at history, I mean, there were many fools who acted upon their feelings. You take King David, right? King David was just God's anointed. But he fell in love. He acted upon his feelings. Knowing God's truth, he betrayed God's truth, set it aside. He acted upon his feeling, and he brought disaster upon his family. You take Adam and Eve. Talk about emotional blackmail. You know, Eve and Adam. It's very interesting. The world today, they think this is a mythical story, never took place. Then I say, were you there? No, shut up. I'm sorry, but I just tell them. Because see, we Christians, we've become so easy to just accept what, and we have to be always nice. The truth has to be declared. You have to be loving and firm, not nice. And people are scared when you just are firm because they don't know what to do. Were you there? No. Have you read the Bible? No. Why can you comment about these things? That's just foolish. Well, you know, think about it. I can't think about it. You've not answered my question. You see, when you push people to be realistic about what they are saying, they've got nowhere to go because they feel like this. And you have to question people's feelings, because not all feelings are worthy of our time. You know, we have to validate people's feelings. I'm not saying, but we cannot say, well, if you feel this is what you feel about God, it's okay. No, it's not okay. Because if I love the person enough, I'm going to tell them it's not okay. So I've got some, there are some other examples, you know, Eve and Adam. So God has created a beautiful creation, Adam and Eve, after his own heart. And then Satan comes in and he says, doubt God's word. That's the snake's hissing, right? Did God really say? And Eve goes like, really? Well, I mean, the apple looks good. What's one bite going to do? Kill you. Is it going to really kill you? Yes. Well, let me try. So she has a bite. And the first person she turns to, Adam, I know you take a bite. And he says, all right. No questions. They utterly throw God's word away. And they believe in their emotions, because then they trust their emotions. And then eventually the fall happens. When the fall happens, when sin enters the world, it affects human emotion. That's why I cannot trust it. Now, I'm not saying that emotions are not good. You know, we feel angry, and God validates anger. But anger against what? Injustice. But we cannot destroy things just because we feel angry. The Bible also says, in your anger, do not sin. Now, we feel times of joy when we see things are happening. You see? But when people are always unhappy when others are doing well, right? That feeling cannot be trusted because jealousy has injected in that feeling. And then it's very destructive. And then we try to justify it. Cain and Abel, two brothers. You know, they talk about the First World War happening in 1915, 1912, whenever it happened. It really happened in the Garden of Eden, outside the garden, where they were thrown out. You've got Cain and Abel. God says how he accepts sacrifices. He says, this is how you need to worship me. So Abel does exactly how God wants him to worship, but Cain wants to be creative. Oh, well, let's just crawl, you know, let's just do it. So God accepts Abel's sacrifice. He rejects Cain. Cain is mad. How dare God reject my, I'd be nice. I went to church. I've been all these things. How dare you? And then what he does, he kills his own brother. Because he just did not sit well with his emotions. Jealousy sets in. You take Moses, you take David, you take Jeremiah. He was utterly depressed. Jeremiah, one of the great prophets, he was utterly depressed because people were not listening to him. And he was so depressed, he wanted to give up ministry. So God says, Jeremiah, stay the course. They need to hear this message. But they keep rejecting me. Enough is enough. Or Jonah. You know Jonah, the whale, the fish, you know. People don't believe that. So that's a myth. How can a person go in a fish? Were you there? No. Zip it. Have you read the Bible? I'm not that such. Zip it. When you read it, then come back and then we'll discuss. You know? People don't want to hear that truth anymore because they are not interested. It's contrary to their emotions. And then, of course, it's interesting that Jonah never wanted to go to and preach the word of God to Mosul, Iraq. Assyrians, same place. He came up with so many emotional excuses. You should judge them. You should destroy them. Why me? Why am I going to go there and preach to them the good news? God says, so that they repent. Well, I want them to be destroyed. Do you ever feel like this with your enemies? Like, you really want them to be gone? I do. Confession directly to the church. Of course you do. That's an unhealthy emotional confession. That's a human feeling. But my feeling should always be evaluated by God's word. So therefore I don't act upon it. Do you see where I'm going with this? And then says, you don't want to go? Fine. I'm going to put you in a fish's belly and send you all the way to Tarshish. God always wins. Always, because he does not lie. Now, where's my thing here? Emotions, mental health, and faith. You know we all have mental issues? The moment you hate somebody, you're mentally unhealthy. I mean, we talk a lot about mental health, but we really don't talk about sin. You know, the society that we're in, they all talk about mental health, but I think we're all mentally unhealthy until we start transforming our minds by the word of God. Otherwise, it's what are we transforming it with? And of course, emotions, mental health, and faith, they are all unseen. They are invisible entities. Yet they guide every element of our lives. Think about it. Don't you act upon your emotions? You feel good, you act a certain way. Your moods change, right? From who you see. You know, this is truth. And I say this from experience. If you spend too much time with people who are utterly negative, it's going to bring you down. It will really. I mean, as a pastor, I've spent a lot of time. You know, you can't help it because you have to be nice, right? With people who are utterly negative. Totally negative. You say something, they find something problematic. Eventually, it's just, it puts a whole burden on your soul. I mean, you're not always happy. I mean, I'm not saying go and spend time with happy people. There's no such thing. But people who are just always trying to be negative. I remember ministering to a lady for 10 years. She was utterly negative. Utterly negative. Like, she was a mother, a grandmother. She found fault in everything. I mean, I was the Antichrist. But, you know, but it's all right. You just try to find the common ground to bring Jesus in. And then one day, I met a just out of the blue, he came, he says, "So how are you doing with this lady?" I said, "You know, she's really nice, but she's tough." He says, "I minister to her mother. She's a saint compared to her mother." I'm like, wow, lucky me. Do you see? And we pass those to the next generation if we don't deal with the garbage that we've inherited. We will just pass it on. So when somebody hears negative, 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 they're going to adapt it, and then they are going to circulate it in their own way. So the word emotion is not found in the Bible. But it guides our lives, but it is not found anywhere in the Bible. But the word feeling is. The first time the word feel or feeling is used is in Genesis chapter 27, 21. Where Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou," you know, he said, there was Esau and Jacob. And of course, the mother put up with all this. I mean, she staged this so that Jacob, the younger boy, gets the blessing versus Esau, the older one. So, and here Isaac is blind. He is not able to see. He asks Esau to go and hunt something for him and bring it. But while he was out, the mother prepares a great meal. And then sends Jacob in and so on. And anyway, Isaac is deceived, the father. So he gives the wrong blessing, the blessing to the wrong kid. He says, "And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come here, I pray thee, that I may feel you, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And with that feeling, Jacob was deceived. Emotions and feelings can easily deceive us. That's why our decisions need to be based on the absolute truth of God, unchanging truth of God's word. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." People don't talk like this anymore in society. Making decisions apart from the word of God is like making a decision in the dark. And making decisions in the dark can lead to some regrettable consequences. Always. You know, I'm a strong believer in God's word. Even if it doesn't feel right for me, I'd rather take my chances with God's word than my feelings. Faith is the art of holding on to things you reason. Your reason has once accepted in spite of your changing moods. C.S. Lewis, he was a professor at Cambridge University, an atheist at one time. He's the one who wrote Chronicles of Narnia. During a time of war, when kids had nothing to do, there were no TVs and stuff, or what's these things? Game, Xbox, Muxbox, whatever they were, you know. But they read the Chronicles of Narnia. But this man said, faith is the art of holding onto things your reason has once accepted. You know, it is very reasonable to believe in God. Did you know that? It is not unreasonable, because he never failed throughout history. Never. We know that he is the near to the broken heart and saves the crushed in spirit. He always has, throughout the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. We can cast all our anxieties on him because we are assured that he cares for us. Even if it doesn't feel like it, he always cares. Fear and faith have a lot in common. Both of these emotions require that you believe in something that you can't see. I'd rather put my trust in faith than fear. Because fear is not going to get you anywhere. Absolutely nowhere. I mean, it will get you to misery. It will get you somewhere. And what does the Bible say? Jesus casts out all fear. Give it to him. Do not be guided by fear. Now, fear is a healthy emotion. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, fear is a bad thing. You know, you should be afraid of fire. Don't touch it.
No, I'm not afraid.
You're stupid. Don't fear immorality. And most importantly, fear the Lord. So fear in itself is not an unhealthy emotion. But do not ever be guided by fear of the unknown. Because Jesus is always in the unknown, in the things that you don't see. But it takes faith. And where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing. Our feelings and emotions must be governed and guided by the truth. The truth of people or the truth of God? Emotions are a wonderful part of the way that God has made us. But emotions cannot be relied upon in the decision-making process. Emotions and feelings can wrong, and they can be so powerful that we often end up following them. One day you can be on the mountain of happiness, the next day in the valley of despair. You know, let me tell you a few things, that just examples here. You know, there was a doctor, a lady doctor, age 44, wonderful Christian woman. She came to my office years ago with another person, and she felt that God was calling her to marry this 33-year-old lawyer who had no idea about God. I said, why do you want to marry this guy? I mean, first of all, 10 years younger than you. She says, the Lord is calling me to marry him so that I convert him to Christianity. I say, where does that say in the Bible? She says, I feel that the Lord. I mean, I was younger back then. I just did not know how can it happen. I said, that's wrong. Just common sense is just wrong. I said, she said, well, can you find me a Bible verse? I said, yeah, the two should be equally yoked. A Christian should marry a person of the same faith, the same love for Jesus. Because then you've got a very strong foundation. I know people don't talk like this anymore because in an age of tolerance and loving everybody, I don't get, the truth of God still dictates that Christian man or woman who loves the Lord with all their heart and soul, they should marry another person who loves equally. And they don't need to be perfect, by the way. Okay? But she says, no, I could not. And she said, I cannot in any way give you a biblical sermon on this, and I feel very uncomfortable. But then everybody was just with her. She says, well, Pastor, just do it. I said, I'll do a religious wedding. Nothing, you know, I do a civil wedding, I said. You know, instead of you going seeing the judge, I'll do that. So there were 4 or 5 people in the wedding. And I really, truly believe that within 6 months, that marriage is going to break down. I mean, that was really, it lasted 7 years. I mean, what a marriage. He was not converted. She got depressed. And they spent a lot of money in between. Why? Emotions. The Lord, you know how many people say, God is telling me? I say, how do you know he was God? Well, it feels right. Do you know where I'm going with this? Be careful. God told me. Is it in his word? God convicts you. You know, God certain times tells us things, but he also affirms it with the people who love us, who are of the same faith and character, you know, and love for the Lord. So if I'm going to make a decision in life, I definitely ask a few people who I know they've got the best interests of mine in their heart. But I also go to these people because they love the Lord. They're not perfect, but they love the Lord. Do you understand? It makes all the difference. Faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe. Oh, it's just like, it's fantastic. The guy lived in the 4th century. He was alcoholic. St. Augustine was alcoholic, sexaholic, whatever you want to, with an 8th and it was him. I mean, his mother was so crying over this boy, he would just not listen. And she used to pray and pray and pray and cry and pray and cry. And one day she goes to her priest and she says, what am I going to do with Augustine? He was not a saint back then. She said, and the priest says, the tears of such a mother do not ever go in vain. God hears those prayers. And he is one of the giants of faith of the church. And the way he comes to faith, one day he's following, he's drunk, and he hears a little boy singing, tole leche, get up and read, get up and read. It is at that very moment, he finds God's word, he reads it and gets converted, he cleans his life, and he becomes a man of faith. And my wife and I, we were at the church that he ministered in the 4th century, in Carthage, Tunisia, many years ago. I had hair back then. If you want to change your emotions, the way you feel, you have to change your thinking. Change your thinking and you will change your emotions. It's as basic as that. It really has to do with your mind. I mean, it's easier said than done. But what are you, you know, a lot of people go and buy books on how to change their minds. Yeah, I need to be more positive. That will last for 2 minutes. Read God's word. Read the Psalms. The guy is angry. The guy is angry all the time, but at the end, he knows that he can. only trust the Lord. He can only trust the Lord. So the way you think, it's going to affect the way you do life, especially your emotions. God is not a man, so he can lie. Now, where do we go from here? I have no idea. Where we go from here is very simple. Where do you feel emotionally today? See, for some of us, these things are tests. You know, imagine life without tests. The problem with God, the problem with us, is that when we go to school, we're given the lessons, then we're given the tests. So the more, the harder you study, the better your grades are. Not necessarily always, but that's the rule, right? Now, with God, he's just the opposite. He gives us the test, then he teaches us the lessons. But many of us are not willing to learn the lessons because we fail in the test. Well, there's really not hope for me. Some people say, I wish I was like you, Pastor Bears. I say, don't pray that prayer. Please don't. You're crazy. You don't know me. You really don't know me. Don't be like anybody else. You know how many people try to imitate to become? Everybody in this country wants to become an idol. American idol. Everybody wants to be loved because they feel they need to be loved. But the problem is they're running away from shame. They want to be affirmed by the wrong words just to feel good. When they reach that position, they are miserable. And eventually, many of them commit suicide. So they've never dealt with the problem to start with. And it's all over the news. Oh, we don't know. He was a nice man. But did anybody check their soul? Did anybody really see? They were really buying time. They were not sorting the problem. And they were listening and depending on their emotions. Now, the problem is many so-called Christians buy into this lie. They are emotional Christians. They go to their churches. They are attached to the music or they're attached to the building. Right? Have you ever met people like that? I love the music. That's why I go to the church. I go like, you don't go to church for just music. Music is important, but that's not the end of the story. Well, I'm a cultural person. My ancestors went to that church. Jesus did not even, you know, he was a member of the synagogue, but he preached outside the synagogue. And he even said, I'm going to destroy this temple. That he just so much you put your faith in because you're emotionally attached to this. And those who worship in spirit and in truth are the ones who just God wants to grow in love. So no wonder people's faith erodes. That's a hint from my date night. Because they have emotional feeling, their faith is based on how they feel emotionally. Now, again, I want to say as I end this sermon is that emotions are good. They're not bad stuff. I mean, don't ever feel guilty if you just wake up and you're not feeling great. You've got a mood, you know? If you ever some people have to have their cup of coffee before you talk to them. I'm not going to say that's biblical or not biblical. It's like they're zombies till that they take their first sip and their husbands or their wife at home, they're just like walking on eggshells. Did your mother have the coffee? No. Did your father have the coffee? No. I mean, that's why they created those caffeine pills while they're asleep. You just drop them in their mouth and, you know, they wake up happy. And those are okay. This is just being human. You know, like it's okay. You don't want to take this into a level where everything... You tell, is this in God's word? No, I'm not. Pastor Bear said you can't do it. I'm going to drive this car. Is this in the Bible? Some people take it to such an extreme, it becomes legalism. You know, there are legalistic Christians who are hypocrites. I know people who just walk with their Bibles under their arm. When they open their mouth, they just Bible verses come out. I go like, where can I hide? I'm not generalizing, but there are some people who hide behind God's word, and they're not authentic. They can tell you any verse. You know that Satan knows more Bible verses than Christians do? And he even challenged Jesus on the mount. I mean, Jesus was such an emotionally, he was in a state that he was emotionally drained. He was hungry for 40 days. I can't even last half a day. I'm being truthful. You know, I love food, and I just feel shaky, and you know. Sometimes I finish sermons early. I ever tell you that? You know why I started services at 10 o'clock? Because God loves lunch hours. But we need to be very realistic about these things. We cannot just say things, you know, but when you are at a place where you feel darkness is coming upon you, and we all go through this, at that very moment, turn to Jesus and say, Lord, I need your help. I don't understand this. There are certain things I cannot explain. People come, you know, over the years, people have come and asked me to make decisions for them that are so difficult. Because the Bible does not clearly say this or that. And sometimes it says, but I try to push it from me. I tell them what the Bible says, but I say, you need to make that decision according to your faith. Because the way I will make it, it will never work for you. But until you get there, you have to just make these decisions according to your faith. And when we are weak, then that's where the attack starts. You know, Satan will not dare to come and interrupt God's service. He has a few times in my life. But they were there for the wrong reasons. God's worship should never be interrupted. But that's a point of strength. But when we are in the world, we are surrounded with ideas and emotions. And sometimes we are affected by it. And in the midst of all this, when we are tempted, temptation is just going to be all for all of us. Turn around and just walk away. When we feel at places that we do not have answers and our souls are in such agony emotionally, we are struggling and suffering, cry out to Jesus. Lord, I'm not going to put more hours on this. Something that I cannot change. Help me. That's not a point of weakness. That's a point of strength. Do not ever say, Lord, give me the faith that this man or that woman has. Don't be somebody else. Be yourself and say, Lord, help me the person you want me to be. You know, every cell within my body, how you're the one who's made me. People don't believe in miracles, right, today? Oh, there are no such things. And I say, then explain how a baby comes together in a mother's womb. Go and explain that. There's no well, no, you can't. Life is a miracle. And this period that we have on planet Earth, you know, do not ever believe when Christians or people come and say, if you believe in Jesus, your life will be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful eternally, that is. But within this life, at this messy side of Jerusalem, we're going to have a lot of temptations and struggles and fights, this and that, and even disagreements. You know, Barnabas and Paul, they were brothers in the Lord, but they had to depart their ways. They were two strong personalities. Wow. Power of the microphone. But they had to be part of their ways, and they had, you know, wonderful ministries. But Barnabas was an encourager. Paul saw things white and black. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote all the letters, and Barnabas did not. I'm not saying Barnabas was wrong, but God's, for him, you know, he had a whole different ministry. He was an encourager. And that's why we have ministry called the Barnabas Ministry. It's a ministry of encouragement. You see, we have, but that's the body of Christ. I mean, you would have driven Paul crazy. You know, there were people, you know, under Paul's leadership, they were just utterly lazy. Paul would not put up with them. But Barnabas would come and say, well, he's just hate them, it's okay. Don't we have people like that in church? And it's a blessing. And we need both. So as we move on to the next stage, as we go back to the crazy world that we cannot avoid ourselves. Remember, emotions are good. They're God-given. But do not trust them in the decision-making process. There are certain decisions God has made it for you in the Word. You might not like it, but if you abide by it, you're going to prosper emotionally, spiritually, and in every other way. If you do not abide by it, do not question God, because it has to do with you versus God's word. He's not man. He's not a human, so he does not change his mind. Do you ever change your mind? Boy, I do. Sometimes my emotions take over. Sometimes I feel great. But he's just, you know, we've not even talked about the chemical stuff that goes on in the brain, the chemical imbalance some people struggle with. They have to take medication. You know, God has created medication as well. I know some friends I had, they truly believe that chemical imbalance could be treated by prayer. And my argument with them was, I always said, look, I do believe that it can be treated by prayer. But also God has created medicine for that. You see? And the miracles that we are seeing, true miracles, that the Western world is not capable of understanding today, the major miracles are happening in countries where there are no hospitals, where there is no medication. Evangelists are writing books and reports after reports, where in countries where there is utter desperation, utter poverty, they are seeing miracles. People are being healed from diseases that they cannot even imagine. And Jesus will appear in places like this and heal them. But in countries like this also, miracles are happening every day. Even doctors at hospitals say, we don't understand. Now we could justify it through our thinking, well, you know, maybe this happened, we don't know. Doctors just don't understand. My question is, why are many doctors that are not writing about these things? Because you know what? It's going to contradict what they believe, and also it will be very controversial. God is controversial. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Not in my life. Not at the time that I wanted to. Not that I really, you know, there are certain things you want God to answer. Just give me the answer, let me move on. I just had enough. You know, do you ever feel like that? I just want the answer, yes or no. Just give it to me, let's move on. Is this the woman that I should get married to? Just, you know? Let her fall. If she fell, then I'm going to walk away. Just give me a sign. Don't pray like that. Has he ever promised and not delivered or carried it through? God always carries through, but sometimes in the midst of these difficulties, he wants to strengthen our faith. Faith is not strengthened in times of when everything is going well. True faith is strengthened in the crucible. In the crucible, when things are just so painful, that's when God is working the most. And as the Greek father said, the desert father said in their writings, you know, sometimes we try to look for God somewhere. God is closer